Good evening and welcome to Rawls Baptist Church and to our Wednesday night Bible study. Tonight we will continue our study of the Kingdom and the Covenants as we trace God's Kingdom program as well as His Covenant program throughout the entire Scriptures. We have already covered the aspects of a kingdom and we have investigated the Abrahamic Covenant and the aspects of the Abrahamic Covenant, the Davidic Covenant, the Palestinian Covenant, and the New Covenant. We are continuing our study tonight of the New Covenant as we begin to look at and explore the section covered in Jeremiah chapter 31 through 26. We will begin by looking at Jeremiah 31 and verse 1. At that time, declares the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. This verse should be linked with what we have already studied in Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 23 through 24. It explains the results of God's judgment on the earth, and also serves to introduce the section on national restoration. God promised that when He judged the world for its sin, He will also restore all of Israel to Himself. All the nations, not just the tribe of Judah. We will see that what God does is in His carrying out His judgment on an unrepented, unbelieving world, He faithfully fulfills His promise that was unilaterally made and was unconditionally made to the nation of Israel. Now in Jeremiah chapter 31 verses 2 through 6, we read, Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness. Israel, when it went to find rest, the Lord appeared to him from afar, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness. Again, I will build you, and you shall be rebuilt, O Virgin of Israel. Again, you shall take up your tambourines and go forth to the dances of the merrymakers. Again, you shall plant vineyards on the hills of Samaria. The planter shall plant and shall enjoy them, for there shall be a day when watchmen on the hills of Ephraim shall call out, Arise, and let us go to Zion, to the Lord our God. God assures the northern kingdom that He will restore her as well. Those who had survived the sword, probably the Assyrians' destruction of Israel, will yet experience God's favor as He leads them into the desert for their new exodus. The turmoil of the long years of exile will cease when God intervenes to give rest to the nation of Israel. The motivation for God's future restoration of Israel is His everlasting love, which He will freely bestow on His people, and His loving kindness. God has made a covenant with Abraham, Genesis chapter 15, and another covenant with the nation of Israel, Exodus 19 and Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28, 29, and 30. And He vowed to stay faithful to His commitments. Israel could look forward to experiencing God's blessing. Jeremiah drew three word pictures that will characterize God's restoration of Israel. First, it will be a time of renewed joy. Israel will once again take up her tambourines and dance joyfully. The times of sadness will cease when the captivity ends. Psalm 137 and Jeremiah 16 and Jeremiah 25. Second, it will be a time of peace and prosperity as the people plant their vineyards on the hills of Samaria. Free from the external threats, they will be able to enjoy their fruit. Leviticus 26:16, Deuteronomy 28:33, Micah 4:4, and Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 9 and 10. Third, it will be a time of renewed commitment to the Lord. The watchman stationed on the hills of Ephraim will summon the people to go up to Zion to worship the Lord. Now we'll look at Jeremiah 31, verses 7 through 9. For thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chiefs of the nations, proclaim, giving praise and saying, O Lord, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I am bringing them forth from the north country, and I will gather them from the remote parts of the earth. Among them, the blind and the lame, the women with child, and she will, and she who is in labor with child together. A great company they shall return here, with weeping they shall come, and by supplication I will lead them. I will make them walk by streams of waters on a straight path in which they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. God's restoration will be accompanied by songs of joy and the praises of the people for his deliverance. No one will be too far away from the Lord to be restored by him. God will gather his people from the ends of the earth. Also, no one will be too insignificant. The Lord, for the Lord to deliver them, God will restore the blind and the lame along with the expectant mothers. As God leads these people on their new exodus into Israel, he will provide for their every need. He will guide the people beside streams of water. Exodus 15 and Numbers 20 and Psalm 23 verse 2. And they will travel on a level path so that they will not stumble. God will do this and do all of this because of his special relationship to Israel. He is Israel's father, Deuteronomy 32, verse 6, and Ephraim, emphasizing the northern tribes of Israel, is his firstborn son, Exodus 4, 22. Jeremiah uses the image of a father-son relationship to show God's deep love for his chosen people. Now turn with me to Jeremiah 31, verses 10 through 14. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare in the coastlands afar off, and say, he who scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob and kept him as a shepherd keeps the flock, and redeemed him from the hand of him who was stronger than he. And they shall come and shout for joy on the height of Zion, and they shall be radiant over the bounty of the Lord, over the grain and over the new wine and the oil, and over the young of the flocks and the herd. And their life shall be like a watered garden, and they shall never languish again. Then the virgin shall rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old together. For I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them and give them joy for their sorrow. And I will fill their soul of the priest with abundance. And my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, declares the Lord. Here we see Israel's regathering like a flock of sheep, referenced in Jeremiah 23, verse 3, Micah 2, 12, Micah 5, 4, and Micah 7, 14. This regathering of Israel will be accompanied by a renewal of God's material blessings. Those who will be restored to the land will rejoice in the bounty of crops, Jeremiah 31, 5, and flocks. Jeremiah compared Israel's material wealth to a well-watered garden that was producing in abundance. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 5 and verse 9. The outpouring of blessing will produce gladness, comfort, and joy. Let's look at Jeremiah 31, verses 15 through 20. Thus says the Lord, a voice is heard in Ramah, lamentations and bitter weeping. Rachel is weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children because they are no more. Thus says the Lord, restrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work shall be rewarded, declares the Lord, and they shall return from the land of the enemy. And there is hope for the future, declares the Lord. And your children shall return to their own territory. I have surely heard Ephraim grieving. Thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised. Like an untrained calf, bring me back that I may be restored. For thou art the Lord my God. For after I turned back, I repented. And after I was instructed, I was smote on the thigh. I was ashamed and also humiliated because I bore the reproach of my youth. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a delightful child? Indeed, as often as I have spoken against him, I certainly still remember him. Therefore, my heart yearns for him. I will surely have mercy on him, declares the Lord. The nation's future hope will contrast sharply with her present misery. The cry from Ramah was one of mourning and great weeping, as Jeremiah pictured Rachel weeping for her children. To what was Jeremiah referring? Ramah was a town 5 miles north of Jerusalem, and Rachel was Joseph and Benjamin's mother. Joseph was the father of Ephraim and Manasseh, who became two major tribes in the northern kingdom of Israel. Thus, Jeremiah was picturing the weeping of the women in the northern kingdom as they watched their children being carried away into exile in 722 BC. However, Jeremiah could also have had the 586 BC deportation of Judah in view, because Ramah was the staging point for Nebuchadnezzar's deportation. In all likelihood, these women were crying because they would never see their children again. But as the women of Israel and Judah wept for their exiled children, God offered a word of comfort. There was hope for their future because their children would return to their land and own the land. God would bring about restoration. In what sense was Herod's slaughter of babies that we found in Matthew chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, a fulfillment of Jeremiah 31, verse 15? Jeremiah pointed to an Old Testament deportation of children from a town north of Jerusalem. Matthew used the passage to explain the New Testament slaughter of children in a village south of Jerusalem. The answer to the problem hinges on Matthew's use of the word fulfilled. Though Matthew did use the word to record an actual fulfillment of the Old Testament prediction, Matthew 21, verses 4 and 5, with Zechariah 9:9, he also used the word to indicate that the full potential of something in the Old Testament had been realized. We see that in Matthew chapter 3, verse 15 and 5, 17. In these latter instances, there is no prophetic significance to the word fulfill, which is how Matthew used the word to associate the slaughter in Bethlehem with the sadness in Ramah. Matthew used Jeremiah 31, 15 in his book, Matthew chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, to explain the sadness of the mothers in Bethlehem. That was the fulfillment. The pain of those mothers in Ramah who watched their sons carried into exile found its fulfillment and its potential in the cities of the mothers of Bethlehem who carried their sons' lifeless bodies in their arms. Jeremiah ended this section by recording Israel's cry of contrition that they will recite when she returns to the land. Though she has strayed, Jeremiah 31, 19, she will repent. When she returns to her God, she will be ashamed and humiliated because of her sin. God, in turn, will express his great compassion for the wayward but returning nation. We find that recorded in Hosea chapter 2, verses 16 through 23. The next two verses in Jeremiah 31, 21 and 22, God calls on the captives to set up road signs and guideposts as they travel to Babylon. Let's read Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 21 and 22. Set up for yourself road markers. Place for yourself guideposts. Direct your mind to the highway, the way by which you went. Return, O Virgin of Israel, return to these your cities. How long will you go here and there, O faithless daughter? For the Lord has created a new thing in the earth. A woman will encompass a man. God called on the captives to set up road signs and guideposts as they travel to Babylon and to remember the road that they would take. They would need this information during the promised restoration so they could return to their towns. This time of promised restoration will be so remarkable that it will be as if God will create a new thing on earth. That new event is described proverbially by the clause, a woman will surround a man or encompass a man. This is probably the most difficult verse to understand in the book of Jeremiah. One possible idea is that a woman will seek or court a man. In that culture, a woman would not normally court a man. So that would indicate something unusual. The woman here is Israel, verse 21. She had been unfaithful, but in the future, she will finally seek out her God and ask to be reunited with him. And then Jeremiah concludes this section that we will conclude here tonight with verses 23 through 26 of Jeremiah 31, beginning in verse 23. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, once again they will speak this word in the land of Judah and in the cities when I restore their fortunes. The Lord bless you, O abode of righteousness, O holy hill, and Judah and all its cities will dwell together in it, the farmer and they who go about with flocks. For I satisfy the weary ones and refresh everyone who languishes. And this I awoke and looked, and my sleep was pleasant to me. When God restores the nation of Israel, he will also reverse the fortunes of Judah. Those living in the land of Judah will again invoke a blessing on Jerusalem. That's God's righteous dwelling. And the temple area, the sacred mountain, Psalm 2:6, Psalm 43:3, and Isaiah 66:20. The land itself will be repopulated, and God will meet every single need of Israel. Israel as an entire nation. So what we see here is the restoration under God's commitment through his unilateral, loyal love, eternal covenant with the nation of Israel, which is amplified by here the new covenant. Next week, we will look at the divine enablement of the fulfillment and the joy of Israel's restoration and blessings. And so next week we will investigate Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 27 through 40. As we continue to meet virtually as on Wednesday nights due to the coronavirus, please stay safe. Continue to exercise the spiritual disciplines of prayer, personal worship, Bible study, and join us at 10:30 on our website, rawsbc.org, so that we can worship together virtually from the recorded video message as we continue our study of 1 Corinthians. Until we are able to meet again, contact me anytime with any needs, concerns, or prayer requests. Stay safe and serve our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For we ask all these things in the power of Jesus' name. Amen.